Nathan Fraser Show, episode number 121, Financial Fascism, Marketing the Mark of the Beast. All right, here we go.
Mixing business with politics. This is the Nathan Fraser Show.
What is up, Free Market Squad? It's your boy, Nathan Fraser, High Priest of Propaganda, and we are back. This is the Nathan Fraser Show. Thank you for taking a half hour out of your week to hang with me. I really do appreciate it. And today, we're going to be traveling down the hyperbolic rabbit hole. This is going to get very Alex Jones in this episode, and that's whatever. I'm going to lose some listeners. I posted earlier on Facebook about this episode, and I already got some people trolling me. And that's okay. I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to do this episode. It's all about financial fascism and marketing the mark of the beast. Now, I should probably clarify. I wouldn't consider myself to be a Christian. We were raised in a Christian household, and we were told all about the mark of the beast. I'm very agnostic when it comes to religion. So I wouldn't say I'm an atheist. I wouldn't say I'm religious. I tend to think that there is some sort of, there's more to the universe than what we can physically see. I feel like there's probably spiritual forces going on. But am I 100% positive? No. Do I have faith? Maybe. I don't know. But do I have any clue as to which religion is close to the truth or if any of them are? Absolutely not. So that being out of the way, we were told about something called the mark of the beast as kids. In Revelations, I believe, of the Bible, it talks about people having to get the mark of the one world leader in order to be able to buy, sell, and trade anything. As kids, we were told it would be a tattoo, like you'd have to get a tattoo across your forehead or a tattoo across your hand. And then I got tattoos across my hand. But it was supposed to be apparently like 666. If you got a 666 tattooed, you were going to be accepted in society. And if you didn't get a 666 tattoo, then you wouldn't be accepted. And then the mythos kind of evolved. I remember back in the early or the late 90s, the idea had changed. It would no longer be 666. It would be a UPC, a universal product code that you would have to get. And then it evolved from that, and now the people are saying that the mark of the beast will actually be an implantable microchip, which I've been seeing more and more in the news about employers demanding their employees get microchips. I will never get a microchip. Sorry, that's where I draw the line. I will not put a microchip inside of my body. But then I don't know, maybe I'll get like augmented, like if I had to get an amputation or my ears went out, maybe I'd get augmented ears or augmented eyes and then they'd have microchips in me. I don't know. Maybe I would get a microchip in my body. A pacemaker, that probably qualifies as a microchip in your body. Either way, that's the idea is you'd have to bend down, bend the knee to this one world leader and they'll have some sort of mark or implant that you'll have to get to prove that you're down with the system. And then you'll be able to buy, sell, and trade. And otherwise, you won't be able to buy, sell, and trade. And I always kind of thought that was ridiculous. I was like, as long as there's cash, as long as there's black markets, anybody will be able to buy, sell, and trade. How could you ever stop that from happening? But we're going to get into this week's episode about how it seems like they are working their way towards that. And what role social justice warriors play in that. So I'm going to start off this week's episode with a quote from, I want to say it was Nathaniel Rothschild, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it was something along the idea of, give me control of a nation's money and I care not who makes its laws. And we're going to be talking a lot about money and what's going on with money and commerce in the world today. And I don't know if you're familiar with this, but China's actually just introduced last year, I believe, 2017 or 2018, they introduced something called the social credit score. And what it is it's basically a credit score that's tied to your social media. I think they have like one giant social media over there called the Sesame social media network, I believe. I might be wrong, but there's a Sesame credit score, and basically it's tied in to your social network, and your social network, your social media is tied into everything. Your bank accounts, everything is tied together into one overarching social media presence, and your new credit score is tied to that. Now, the way that they've set this up is if your credit score is bad, and it's not just like your financial credit score, it's your actual social credit score. So if you have a bad social credit score, you don't get all of the societal perks that somebody with a good social credit score has. Now, things that affect your social credit score, if you post negative things on social media, that drops your social credit score. If you complain about the government, it drops your social credit score. If you return movies late, it drops your social credit score. If you don't show up to work on time, it drops your social credit score. If you're friends with someone who has a low social credit score, it drops your social credit score. You can see where this is leading. It's very much a people policing themselves situation. And if you have lower social credit score, you miss out on certain perks. You're not allowed to take the best vacations. In fact, last year, it was reported, I just read it this morning, I want to say it was in Esquire magazine or maybe it was Forbes. They were saying that 23 million people were denied the ability to travel last year. 23 million people in China were denied the ability to travel because their social media score, their social credit score wasn't high enough. And again, like I said, if your friends, if your father has a low social credit score, that brings down your social credit score. So it's a very much getting society to police itself, and everybody has to paint the, you know, put on a happy, bright smile. And if not, it's a quick downward spiral. And it seems to be working a lot more than just blatant authoritarianism. Letting the people take place or take part in the authoritarianism seems to be working better than Chairman Mao's version of authoritarianism. Now, people might say, well, that's in China. Why would we have to worry about anything like that ever happening here? We have capitalism. They're communist. We have a free market. But the problem is that our free market doesn't actually protect us from the ills of what's going on. Now, I'm going to give some examples of this, and I'm going to give some examples and say that I'm not a fan of most of these organizations that I'm going to mention that have been targeted. I'm just mentioning them because they have been targeted, and it needs to be brought to the attention. So last year, Alex Jones was deplatformed from almost every single media outlet, and I personally don't like Alex Jones. I think that he lies just as much as CNN does. I think that he's hyperbolic. And I know I jokingly said that I was going to start off the show doing an Alex Jones impersonation. I really don't like Alex Jones. I've always been suspicious of his motives, and that's what it is. But that being the case, I don't think that Alex Jones should have been depersoned from the internet the way that he was last year. And I don't like what happened to Alex Jones and PayPal. PayPal cut Alex Jones's ability to, and a bunch of payment processors, I think PayPal and Stripe both, on the same day, cut Alex Jones's ability to receive money through his online store. That is horrifying to me. As an online entrepreneur, that scares the shit out of me that just because somebody doesn't like your political beliefs, they can cut your ability to make money online. That's scary. Some other people that PayPal has deleted their ability to have accounts on PayPal. American Jihad Watch, which is an organization that the FBI actually employs to keep tabs on specific jihadi networks. American Jihad Watch, which is in good favor with the U.S. government, was actually deleted or banned from using PayPal to collect donations. Gavin McGinnis was deleted from PayPal. He had his account deleted from PayPal. Laura Loomer recently had her PayPal shut down. BitChute, which is a YouTube alternative, BitChute had both PayPal and Stripe kick them off of their services. Now, these are all right-leaning individuals. And again, I think Gavin McGinnis is kind of funny. I don't really like Laura Loomer. I'm not all about American Jihad Watch. I do like BitChute. I think BitChute was a good platform. But most of these people, I'm not fans of these people, but I don't like the fact that PayPal is just deleting their ability to make money off of the internet. And same thing with Stripe. Stripe is deleting some of these people as well. Patreon. Patreon was an awesome service. I was super excited when Patreon came out a couple of years ago. And they started getting big. And over the last 6 months or so, they've actually deleted a lot of people as well. I think the first person they deleted was Lauren Southern, which I kind of understand why they did it. The reason that they gave for deleting Lauren Southern, it kind of made sense. Then they deleted Sargon of Akkad. I'm going to say, I don't really like Lauren Southern either. I think she's hot as fuck. And she identifies as a man. She makes me question my own sexuality. I'd fuck the shit out of her. But I don't really like her politics that much. Sargon of Akkad, same thing. I don't agree with most. Well, I agree with some of his things. I disagree with certain other things. I don't agree with why Patreon deleted him, though. The reason that Patreon said that they deleted him is because he was on somebody else's YouTube stream, and he was going after the alt-right. He was attacking the alt-right, and he called them, because the alt-right, especially the ones he was going after, they're very racist, and they love to throw the N-word around. And so Sargon was trying to use their own insult against them, and he called them white niggers. He said, "You guys act just like what you say black people are, so I'm going to apply the term to you." And because of that, Patreon, it didn't happen on Patreon's service. It didn't happen on Sargon's own YouTube channel. It happened on somebody else's YouTube channel. But because Sargon did that, they deleted his Patreon account. Patreon also recently deleted Milo Yiannopoulos's, I hope I said that correctly, his service. James Alsup was also deleted from, and I can't stand James Alsup. I think that guy's like borderline KKK. If there was any truth to the alt-right being KKK light, James Alsup is definitely one of those people that I would say falls into that category. Can't stand the guy. But again, just because I don't agree with somebody's points of view doesn't mean I want them to be depersoned. Doesn't mean I want them to not be able to collect donations from the people that do believe what they say. Just because somebody's crazy doesn't mean we take away their ability to make a living. And so what happened was, especially after Sargon got kicked off of Patreon, a lot of people started looking for an alternative to Patreon. And the closest thing to an alternative that was out there at the time was a service called Subscribestar. Now, Subscribestar was maybe, I think at the time they had like 15 people using the service, and then Sargon went over there, and then a bunch of other people started shutting down their Patreon accounts because they were afraid they were next after Sargon. And so they started trying to set up Subscribestar accounts. And then lo and behold, PayPal and Stripe both shut down their payment processor with Subscribestar. They both blocked Subscribestar and said, "We're not going to do business with Subscribestar." And it was pretty much the exact same day that Sargon decided to go over there. So it seemed very much like it was all kind of coordinated. It seemed like there was in the background some strings being pulled to eliminate the competition for Patreon, to make sure that nobody could compete with Patreon. And it was very suspicious. Now, that's one thing. That's online. People can say, well, online businesses can pick who they want to do business with, and if they don't want to do business with people, then that's just the way that it is. You got to figure out something else. But it doesn't stop online. It's actually working its way into the real world. Over the last couple of months, we've seen bank accounts, actual bank accounts, physical brick and mortar bank accounts, shutting people out of their own accounts. The Proud Boys. Again, I'm not a fan of the Proud Boys. I think that they're, in a lot of instances, they're just as cringy as Antifa are to me. I hold the Proud Boys in slightly higher regard than Antifa, but y'all know how I feel about Antifa, so Proud Boys aren't very much higher up there. But their leader, Enrique Tarrio, I want to say is his last name. Enrique Tarrio, one of the founders of the Proud Boys, one of the leaders of the Proud Boys, obviously not a white supremacist with the name Enrique Tarrio. He found out that Chase Manhattan shut down his bank account. He got an email, and they said, "We're sorry, we're no longer going to be able to do business with you." And he's not the only one. Martina Marcota, who is I believe she used to be a burlesque actress type lady. She also is a creator of right now she's trying to fund an Indiegogo comic book. She had her Chase Bank account shut down. Joe Biggs, who I believe is an ex InfoWars guy, he had his Chase Bank account shut down. So in the last couple of months, the three prominent conservative voices have all had their accounts with Chase Manhattan shut down. That's pretty horrifying. That banks can now just shut down your account and you can no longer, not because you're in debt with them, not because you're practicing anything nefarious, just because you have a political ideal that they don't like, because you support a president that they don't like, they can shut down your account. Now, here's the other thing too. People say, well, we can just move away from the banking system altogether. Let's go to Coinbase. Let's go to Bitcoin. And if you've been following Coinbase, Coinbase actually recently banned Gab CEO, the CEO of Gab. They banned him from their service. They just froze his account and said, no, you're not allowed to do business on Coinbase anymore. So even Bitcoin isn't safe from these payment processors getting in and manipulating and picking and choosing who can and who can't do business. Now, like I said, most of these people I'm not a fan of. Lauren Southern, again, thinks she's hot as fuck, but I think I disagree with a lot of her political ideals. Pretty much all of the other people that I named, I'm not a big fan of. Gab, I thought Gab was actually a good Twitter alternative. I was kind of sad to see how Gab has been being attacked lately. But again, even though I'm not a fan of these people, I don't think that they should have their ability to earn a living stripped away from them. Here's the deal. We send people to prison for rape and child molesting and murder. And when they get out of prison, they're still allowed to get bank accounts. They can murder people, serve their time. They can rape people, serve their time. They can diddle with kids, serve their time, come out, and they can still get a bank account. But if you support the president, you can have your bank account taken away. If you support the wrong political ideals, if you're anti-SJW, you can have your bank account taken away. You can be a murderer and a rapist and still keep your bank account. But if you're a political wrong thinker, you risk having your bank account taken away. That is fucking horrifying. That is 1984 personified right there. And I just went through an entire list of proven examples of this happening both online and in the real world, brick and mortar bank accounts shutting people down. Now, I should take a side trip real quick and talk about SJWs. Most of these people have been attacked by SJWs. Sargon of Akkad was attacked by SJWs. Lauren Southern attacked by SJWs. Milo Yiannopoulos, James Alsup, all of these people, Alex Jones, they're constantly in the sights of SJWs. SJWs love to go after these people. They love to try and figure out ways to stop their income. They love to deplatform these people. And it might look like these payment processors are just bowing to the will of SJWs. And if you don't know what an SJW is, it's a social justice warrior. They're typically extreme leftists. I agree with about 5% of the issues that they push, and then adamantly disagree with 95% of the tactics that they employ. But it might look like these social justice warriors are exercising power, that they're the ones actually shutting these people down. And when it comes down to it, when it came to the Patreon thing with Sargon of Akkad, it ended up being that Patreon didn't even make the decision. It was actually a decision made by MasterCard. MasterCard is the payment processor for Patreon, and MasterCard, apparently, I haven't seen the documents, but apparently Patreon said that MasterCard told them that if they didn't cut Sargon of Akkad, that MasterCard would cut off their payment processors to them. So it's really coming down to Visa and MasterCard are really the two big companies that are behind most of these political deplatformings, targeting these political players and getting rid of their ability to bank, basically, and earn money online and store money in the real world. And we're getting to the point where we already have a global currency. We have MasterCard and Visa. They're the global currency. And it's not so much one currency like a United States dollar, that the petrodollar that overtakes all the other dollars, or a United Nations dollar, like some people said that it would be when we were little kids. It's really MasterCard and Visa. They've become the global currency. And I don't think that the SJWs are pressuring MasterCard and Visa. I actually think that the SJWs are just being used as pawns by MasterCard and Visa. MasterCard and Visa want more and more power over who can and can't do business. And people that are nationalists, people that are pro-Trump, people that are anti-authoritarian, Visa and MasterCard don't like them, because Visa and MasterCard are a global corporation. Visa and MasterCard want a global government because that makes their jobs a lot easier. And so people who go against global government, people who are rabidly against global government, they're political enemies of Visa and MasterCard. And so SJWs are just being used as pawns to go after the actual enemies of MasterCard and Visa. In my opinion, it just like SJWs are used as pawns to crack down on free speech, just like they're convinced that free speech is hate speech and we need to shut it down. And the real goal is to cut down on political dissent, to eliminate political dissent. SJWs are just being used as pawns. I don't think that they actually have the power. They're just a very convenient set of useful idiots that their goals align with what Visa and MasterCard's goals are, which is getting rid of borders, getting rid of national sovereignty. And again, I'm not a fan of borders. I'm not a fan of nation states. I'm actually an anarchist, so this isn't like I don't have a dog in the fight, but I don't want to move towards a bigger government. I would much rather prefer smaller and less centralized governments. I prefer decentralization over centralization. Visa and MasterCard are definitely working towards centralization, which is against what I'm all about. But that is, in my opinion, who's really pulling the strings. I don't think it's the SJWs pulling the strings. I think it's Visa and MasterCard pulling the strings, trying to further their grip over and their consolidate their control over over the world currency, basically. And back to the mark of the beast that I was talking about earlier, actually, Swedish banks recently, I think this was a story from last year as well, Swedish banks are trying to get rid of cash altogether. They're trying to have everything done on credit cards and bank accounts and debit cards and no actual money whatsoever. And they're saying it's because drugs can be bought with money and illegal things cash is being used for illegal things to fund terrorism. So let's just get rid of cash altogether so they can track every single thing, so that'll help us get rid of terrorism. That'll help us get rid of the drug trade. That'll help us get rid of sex trade and all of this stuff. But it's really about control. And what we're watching right now, both with the social media score the social credit score in China and here in America, where if you step out of line and if you don't do exactly what the politically correct mob thinks is right, if you are deemed problematic by the moral Puritans of today, the social justice moral Puritans, they'll attack your bank account. They'll attack your PayPal account. They'll attack your Patreon account. They'll take away your ability to earn a living. Like I said, rapists and murderers can still earn money. Rapists and murderers can still set up a bank account. But if you say the wrong word on a live stream, you lose your ability to make money online. If you say something politically incorrect on YouTube, you lose your ability to collect money online. It's a very fucked up world that we find ourselves living in today. But just like in China, where they've got the social credit score and you step out of line with what the rest of the herd is thinking, you lose all your privileges. It's the same thing going on here. So both communism that they have in China, or the version of communism that they have in China, and the overly regulated version of capitalism that we have here in the United States and in other Western countries, both of them seem to be working towards the same goal, which is basically consolidating power, consolidating control, working towards a single payment processor for the entire world, and you having to fall in absolute line and bow down to their edicts, never question their political agenda. And if you do, you lose your ability to buy, sell, and trade. And what could be next? like I said earlier in the show, I've been seeing more and more stories about companies demanding their employees get microchipped. Some entire countries, politicians are talking about the idea of chipping their entire populations. Will this be the mark of the beast? Will the microchip be the 666 that you have to get in order to buy, sell, and trade? I don't know, but it's creepy to me that these stories that we were told when I was a kid seem to be coming to fruition. These ideas of all of the governments coming together under one government, one national or one sovereign rule over the entire world, one global currency for the entire world. And if you don't bow down and do what they say, you lose your ability to buy, sell, and trade. All of this shit, I thought they were just fairy tales when I was a kid, and now we see them coming into fruition. What's next? I don't know. Now, I don't want to end the episode on a down note. I want to say what I consider might be a solution, and that is maybe not Bitcoin, but maybe Bitcoin 2.0, whatever the new version of Bitcoin may be. And the reason that I say this is I read a book a while back called The Diamond Age by Neal Stephenson. And one of the concepts of the book is that inside the story, it's set in the future. It's set maybe 30, 40, 50 years into the future. And they figure out how to encrypt transactions. And people start buying and selling and trading outside of government permission. And the governments lose the ability to tax. And there's no way to keep track of who's buying and selling and trading what, because they set up their entire separate monetary system. And in the book, what this leads to is the utter downfall of all politicians, of all governments. The United States government crumbles, China crumbles, the United Nations crumbles, Israel crumbles, Russia crumbles, everything falls apart. Because nobody pays taxes anymore. And so governments have to become voluntary. And if a government wants your tax dollars, if they want your support, it's all voluntarily paid. And if you want the protection of any particular government, and then governments have to start competing. And within the same city, you'll have four or five different governments. And you agree to obey by their laws. You agree to obey by their contracts with the other governments. And you obey to voluntarily pay them. And they'll provide you with certain services. And if you don't like any of them, then you're just a person without a government. And that could be the way that we go. If, as so often happens, the authoritarians squeeze their grip too tight, more and more people are going to slip between their fingers. More and more people are going to look for solutions. As PayPal cuts more and more people off, as Visa and MasterCard cut more and more people off, there's going to be a market demand for a solution outside of the traditional banking system. And that solution might destroy everything that these people have been working towards. And I think that they're terrified of that. And I think that they, rightly so, should be terrified of that, because this might be the thing that turns everything around. But I don't know. That's just my thoughts on it. I would love to hear what your thoughts are. If you enjoyed the show, leave a comment, let me know. Make sure you like, make sure you subscribe so that you never miss a future episode, and leave your comments down below. Let me know what you think. Is there a solution? Are we just fucked and we're all going to be microchipped and be forced into the 666 system? I hope that that's not the case. I want to know your thoughts. Leave your comment down below. My name is Nathan Frazier. I'm the High Priest of Propaganda. Thank you for spending some time with me. I'm out of here. Deuces. Yo, did you enjoy the show? Do you want to help me create more of it? If so, then head on over to Patreon and find me at... Just kidding. Fuck Patreon. But on the reals, I am a greedy capitalist. I do want your money, and I do have something really cool for you if you feel like sending me some shekels. Have you heard about the Free Market Squad? It's my private community, and inside of it, you'll be able to connect with a bunch of liberty-minded entrepreneurs and marketers. You'll also get access to trainings from some of the world's greatest marketers and A-list copywriters. These are the people who taught me how to build my two successful businesses so that I could do the work I love and be my own boss. So if you want to show me some love, I'm going to give you something of immense value in return. Join the Free Market Squad, discover the selling secrets of some of the world's most successful marketers and copywriters, and get access to our private community of freedom-focused entrepreneurs. You help me, and I help you. That's what the Free Market Squad is all about. Head on over to freemarketsquad.com and get signed up today.